Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into today's Oasis podcast. And we have been in a series on the rapture. We've talked about the power of God. We've talked about purifying yourself. We've talked about the days of Noah. And today we want to look at prophetic pictures and that the Bible has a lot to say with the end of days, and it has a lot to say about the rapture, about the Lord coming and taking his people out. So let me open in a word of prayer, and then let's go into this today. And Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you open our ears to hear. But Lord, the purpose of this in hearing is that we would prepare, be ready, to be found doing, to bring you pleasure. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Now, the Bible says in the book of John, chapter 14, and, you know, obviously, this probably, a lot of us would say, this is one of our favorite passages because it just is so amazing. Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Now, let's just, this is what we're going to be talking about. Jesus said, I will come back. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Now, in this passage, he's not talking about someplace on the earth, because the disciples began to question him about that. And he was talking about heaven. He was talking about the throne of God. And let me just say this. If you go back, you know, earlier in the year, at the beginning of the year, we did a whole series on heaven. And I tell you what, you know, this, if you mix the series on heaven with this series, I tell you what, it's pretty exciting. So he's talking about, he's with them. He's saying, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to go to where the Father is. I'm going to be clothed back in the glory I had before creation, but I'm a man. I'm still a man. I know what you're going through. I've been in your shoes. I know what you feel, but I'm being restored in the glory I had with the Father, equal with the Father, the Word of God. Oh my goodness, when we get into that, it's just overwhelming, the revelation that Jesus, all God, became a man, and then he went back to the right hand of the Father, to the throne of God as a man. And when you put your faith in him, you come into his body. Now, we call it the church, but I'm not sure I would call it the church age. We understand that, but we're living in this age where the body of Jesus is ministering on the earth. And so he says, I'm going to go, I'm going to prepare a place, but then I'm going to come back and I'm going to receive you to myself. Now, the word receive is paralambano. What a powerful word. It means he's going to come. He said, I'm going to come, but then I'm going to draw you unto myself. He's not going to come to you and put his arms around you. He's going to come, and then he's going to draw you into himself, unto himself. It's like a little child comes in from school, sees mom, and mom just kind of takes a stand, kind of maybe kneels down, and the child runs. And that child isn't just running to mom. That child's running to love that is emanating out and drawing that child into herself, into the mom's love. But Jesus is full of power. And he says, listen, paralambano, I'm going to come, and then I'm going to draw you into myself. That where I am, you're going to be. So meaning that there's a period of time. He is in heaven and we're going to be with him in heaven with the Father. And so powerful. Now, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, we see a very powerful operation. It's a word of wisdom that angels can be used in the gifts of the Holy Spirit as well, giving revelation into the mind of the Lord, into future events. And verse 10, Acts 1, verse 10. And so while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, what happened? Verse 9. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. A cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Now remember, Jesus said, "I'm going to go." He's not talking about someplace on the earth. He's going to go to be with the Father. He's going to prepare a place. So as he is going up, just like he said, "I'm going to go," they're watching him. And where are they looking? They're not looking to the mountains. They're not looking to the ocean. They're looking at heaven because that's where he's going. And he says, "I'm going to go there." There is a real place. It's called heaven. It's in the north. And the earth is the footstool. And when anytime you go into a throne room, you don't look at the footstool. You look at the throne. You look at the beauty of the throne room. And maybe before you leave, you glance at the footstool. And that's the way it is with the earth. The earth is nothing compared to the throne room of God. And Jesus said, "I'm going to go up there." And so up there is a real place. Even right now, while you're listening to this, up there is real. You probably know people who are up there. They're not gone. They're just up there. And you're down here, functioning by faith. And so here's the angels. They're like, "Listen, he's coming back." And they're releasing this doctrine of the Lord's return into these disciples. And it's a word of God's wisdom. It's a revelation of the Holy Spirit pertaining to the mind of the Lord and things that are in the future. And so powerful. So powerful. Now, when you go to the beginning of the book, the Bible, you come to the book of Genesis, obviously, and you see the power of God in operation, the creation. He's speaking, he's bringing into operation. And then you get to the life of Abraham. Now, Abraham, to me, he was a prophet. And the Jews will tell you he's a prophet. The Muslims will tell you he was a prophet. He really was a prophet because his life had so many wonderful pictures. I mean, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So obviously we know that refers to Jesus and he's crucified. But in the life of Abraham, there's Abraham. He's got this miracle son. It was impossible, but God said all things are possible. And so Abraham gives birth to Isaac. And then God says, "Hey, Abraham, take the son, your only son of your love." Sounds just like John 3:16. It's the same words. "And I want you to offer him." And so Abraham goes to the place that we would call modern day Jerusalem, Mount Moriah, or Mount Moriah. I'm not sure how you say it, but he goes there. And Jerusalem isn't there yet, right? I mean, it's just Abraham and a mountain. And he offers Isaac. It's a prophetic picture of God who's going to offer his son. Amazing. You also see a wonderful prophetic picture with Joseph. Joseph goes to Egypt. His brothers, by an act of jealousy, envy, sell Joseph as an act of killing him to the Gentiles. And then God raises up Joseph into a place of incredible power for the salvation of the Gentiles, the Egyptians, as well as the plan of God for the Jewish nation. So you see a beautiful picture of Jesus going, being sold to Rome to die on a cross because of the envy of his brothers, right? And he becomes salvation, not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles. So we see a beautiful prophetic picture there. Well, in Genesis chapter 24, we see another wonderful prophetic picture. And it's about Abraham realizing that his son Isaac needs a wife. And so Abraham sends his servant. The servant has possession of everything. I mean, he has the control of everything that belongs to Abraham. And Abraham entrusted him implicitly. I mean, everything was in the hands of this servant. And so you see the Father, you see the Holy Spirit, and the whole operation is to get a wife for the son. That's beautiful. It's a beautiful prophetic picture. And so, you know, the servant says, Abraham, what if the woman doesn't want to come? That's a powerful question, because the woman could choose not to go. And that happens. So it's a very valid question. There are people who are offered this salvation who don't want to go. They just don't end up going. And it's an eerie thought, scary thought, but it's true. So the servant goes and he finds, you know, this beautiful young lady, and he begins to give her gifts. You know, the Holy Spirit has gifts. This servant had gifts for this woman. And you know the character trait of this young lady. Rebecca was such a servant. Here's the servant of Abraham. And he's on all these stinky camels. And she comes out. And she goes, hey, I'll get you some water, and can I water your camels too? And how many girls would have come out and said, hey, can I water all your camels, you know? There wasn't just two camels, you know. It was a lot going on there. And so here she is, her makeup is running, her hair's all messed up. And she is working. She is serving these camels. And they're spitting on her. They're kicking her. And she's watering them. And the servant is looking like, this girl is pretty. Maybe a little messy right now. But that's not how it's going to end. She's not going to be messy at the wedding, right? And so she gets done watering the camels. And the servant's going, wow, this is amazing. And so you see the process now. The servant now has to get her out of where she lives back to where Abraham's camp is. Okay? And, you know, technically that's the Holy Spirit's job, is to get you from where you live to heaven. Yeah, I mean, you know, he wants you to say, yes, I want to do it. But you know what? There's some stinky camels that we need to water. We need to learn to serve. Because, you know, that's the kind of bride that Jesus wants. The heart of a person who lays himself down, his desires, and says, you know, I want to pick up the desires of the Lord. I want to live for him. I want to give my life for him. And while everyone else is looking beautiful and their hair is combed, you know, I'm sloppy and messed up because the camels have spit on me and kicked me. But I got them watered. I got them watered. That's who the Lord's looking for. You know, not someone just, I went to church and they, you know, they have a card. They stamp their card for the week. I went to church. And they're going to be shocked. That's not the kind of bride the Lord's looking for. Genesis 24. You know, you go into Genesis 24. You see the kind of bride the Lord is looking for. Now, let's go to verse 62. So Genesis 24, 62. And let's pick up there. And Isaac came from the way of the well Leharoi, for he dwelt in the south country. Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. He lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Those camels were happy. They had been watered. And he saw a bunch of smiling camels. And and so, you know, when you look at this, you gotta get the picture. Here's Isaac. He's in the camp of Abraham, right? I mean, he's the son of the love of Abraham. And he says, you know, I want to leave the camp. I want to go out into the field. And he goes out into the field. Now, he stops. He doesn't go all the way to where the servant went. He goes out, he's in the field, and he stops. And then here comes the servant, the camels, and the beautiful young lady who watered those camels, who said, yeah, I haven't seen this guy yet, but I'm going to trust that he's really handsome. And so let's pick up. So Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she jumped off her camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walks in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it's my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. I mean, remember, marriage is something God loves. He established it. And when he brought Eve to Abraham, it wasn't just to Adam. When he brought Eve to Adam, it wasn't just Adam's heart that was full of emotion. The Father, he was full of feeling and emotion, looking at the beginning of these love operations happening. And it's love coming down to people. Attracted, drawing together, the Father bringing them together in a marriage. And here is Isaac. And this Rebecca, she's like, wow, what is this good-looking guy coming through the field? I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you're hanging out with Abraham, there was probably a strong anointing that she wasn't used to. I gotta be honest here. The anointing of God on Abraham's camp, remember, Abraham's camp was the Jewish nation. Now, maybe they weren't there yet, but that glory was there. And Isaac, he was the promised son that this nation was going to come. Ultimately, the Mashiach, the Messiah, was going to come out of Isaac. And so he's walking in the field. I guarantee you, she had never seen the glory of God on a person. And here's this young guy, beautiful. I mean, he was a hunk. And she's like, whoa, who's this guy? And the servant, you know, he smiled, thinking, that's him. That's the master. And she buttons up her veil. She's probably shaking on the inside. And she's like, boy, did I score. Can't wait to write my sisters about this one, because they thought I'm probably going to marry a bald guy with a mole or something. I don't know. And so now watch this. Verse 66. And the servant told Isaac all things that had happened that he had done. Verse 67. Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. And took Rebekah, and she became his wife. He loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So what happened is this. I want you to see the picture. He greets the servant, and then what does he do? He receives Rebekah to himself, and he takes her. He doesn't take the servant. He doesn't take the camels. He takes her. He receives her unto himself, and he takes her back to the camp of Abraham, and they are married there. Now, in John chapter 14, let's go back. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, or maybe we could say in Abraham's camp, there are many tents or mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come out into the field. I'm not going to go all the way. And when you come, I'm going to receive you to myself. Meaning there's an operation of the Holy Spirit, the servant, that's going to take earth's families from above and join them with earth's families from beneath. We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye and caught up together, what? With the Lord in the air, and then right back to heaven, to Abraham's camp, to the Father's camp. And there's going to be a marriage. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you. I'm going to paralambano. You're not going to just come to me. I'm going to draw you to myself. Now, this same word, paralambano, the Bible says that there's going to be two in the field. One will be taken, the other one left. Now, I've heard people say, well, that has nothing to do with the rapture. There's an intricate theological explanation. And instead of just being simple, the Bible was simple. It's, you know, the wisdom. God is so wise, he can make a simple book. It takes a lot of wisdom and knowledge to make something so clear and simple. And so two are going to be in a field. Two are going to be, what, grinding. Two are going to be in a bed. And it uses the word paralambano. One will be taken, meaning whoever is the one doing the taking is going to paralambano, is going to receive that one to himself. So it's by the use of the Greek, we know this is totally in the theme of the coming of the Lord, in the rapture of the church, and it gives you that understanding of the five wise, the five foolish, two in the bed, two working in the field, and the word taken, paralambano. One is going to be received unto oneself. Whew. Powerful. So powerful. Such beautiful wordiology, you know? And you know, when it comes to the coming of the Lord, knowing the Greek words does help. And also identification. We're in him already. We're his body already. And all we're waiting for is the redemption of these physical bodies, right? I mean, you woke up in the morning, you feel, oh, my back is stiff and my hair was messed up. And you're like, oh, can't wait for the redemption of my physical body. And that's coming. And so in this episode, I want you to see the prophetic picture that all the way back in the book of Genesis, God was already speaking about this marriage, speaking about the coming of the Lord, the paralambano, the receiving unto oneself and being taken back to the Father's encampment for a marriage. It's beautiful. In our last episode, we talked about you're not appointed to wrath. The days of Noah were about wrath. Noah went up. Lot went out. You know, Lot wasn't the greatest guy, but you know what? Because of Abraham, Lot went out of the judgment. And judgment couldn't come until Lot left. So think about that. You're not appointed to wrath. The tribulation is the wrath of God. You're not appointed to it. you're appointed to paralambano, to being received by the Lord. That's enough for now. Listen, go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. And there's more information there. Go to our website at oasischurchkellypark.com. Come visit us. If you have any questions, you can email us at office@oasischurchkellypark.com. Remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.